Hello, hello.
Hey, hey.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Anything new?
Every day is the same, it seems like. Not a whole lot new.
Yeah.
Just kind of doing the same thing. Just doing school.
Yes. That's always good.
Yeah. State parks are opening this week, which is super exciting.
So exciting. I think we're going to try to hit up all of our local state parks in 1 week.
Yes. And I really want to go fishing.
Yes. We haven't fished at this one park, so hopefully we'll actually catch a fish. That would be great.
Because right?
We haven't caught any fish, and you haven't caught any fish.
I know. And we used to go, like, last summer we went fishing so many times. And
because you lived on a lake?
Yeah. And we never caught anything. So
disappointing, and the kids really just don't know. Like,
we were even asking locals, like, what do you use as bait? We tried all the things, and none of it worked out.
Yeah, we haven't had much luck. We caught a few years ago, we caught a tiny little fish
that really?
We could actually like cook. It was big enough to cook, but just barely. And it was like so exciting, but I feel like it's been so long that the excitement's worn off.
I think I just realized that your son has caught more fish with his bare hands.
True.
This past year than we have caught fishing.
This is so true. I don't know why he has this gift for catching creatures with his hands. Snakes, fish,
oh my goodness,
frogs.
Like, yes, last week we had this like frog outside of our house, and we've been so excited about it. And I always tell the kids, like, once we go out there, it's going to jump away. Like, there's no point in even trying to get it. And
and
he was like, I got this.
3 seconds later,
he has a frog in his hands.
I know.
Yeah.
And then the other day he caught one at the river. I don't know. He's just very good at catching.
We just watched that movie, Dr. Dolittle. And we were like, yep, that could totally be your kid.
Totally could.
Yeah. So what else have you been up to?
Well, my husband's schedule for work has changed yet again.
Mm-hmm.
It changes a lot. And I feel like for someone like me who loves to plan and have, like, my routine down.
I'm just going
to
say routine-oriented.
Yes, it's such a big deal to me. I wish it wasn't. So it's always an adjustment. Like, I would say this schedule is, like, one of the best ones we've had yet. But I don't know. It's always hard for me, like, going into things being different. Like, what's this going to look like? When are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to have time for that? Like, it's just hard for me to, like, adjust to it. So I'm kind of in that adjustment phase, but hopefully this one will go on for a while because I think we're really going to like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Change is just really hard for me.
Change is always hard, I feel like.
Yeah.
But you like his new schedule.
I do. We're really liking it. We're kind of like, this is week. We're going on week 3. So it'll be good. I wish like his schedule is more consistent so I could just, you know, settle into my routine. But it is always changing. And I think that like just coming to grips with the fact that it is going to be constantly changing. And just, like, trying to embrace it and realizing that in the past we've always been able to, you know, make it work and fit in all the things that we needed to fit in. So just taking a breath and realizing it's going to be okay. So
right.
That's kind of challenging for me, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, we've been loving it because he now has the same days off as my husband.
Yes, and so I feel like I don't even remember the last time he had Saturday and Sunday.
I know,
days
right?
Off. Yeah.
Yeah, we were super pumped. So now we can, like, hang out on the weekends.
Exactly. And it's working out nicely now because it's not too crowded places. But we've always been very, like, oh, Saturday would be the worst day to have off because everybody in the world has it off. But
exactly. I've always been envious of, like, your during the week days off because then you can do, like, whatever. You're never worried about, like,
it being
you know?
Too crowded. Yeah, like going to the beaches and stuff.
Do most people worry about that? I don't really know.
I don't know.
Do people really worry
Maybe
about
we overthink everything. That's a definite possibility.
I think a lot of people are totally fine with, you know,
crowds. Yeah, I think
crowds.
That's normal. Yeah, I guess we're not.
But I don't know. I love going and not having to worry about it being super busy and crowded. So,
yeah.
Luckily, it hasn't been yet.
No, not yet. Right now, we're loving it. So,
So what are we talking about today?
We're going to tackle Shakespeare and poetry. Two of my favorites.
Yes. You are the Shakespeare queen.
I'm not. I mean, I do love it. I can remember, like, being in high school and just falling in love with Romeo and Juliet, of course, because, like, what high school girl isn't obsessed with their love story?
Of course.
But I had, like, lines memorized. I would watch this movie, like, over and over again.
That's
I was
what
just
I remember.
In love.
I remember you being super into Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, something about the whole story. And I loved the language of Shakespeare, like being able to like decipher it and like know, oh my gosh, like what a beautiful way of saying that.
Right.
Like it's so poetic. So I feel like I've always had a special place in my heart for Shakespeare.
Right. So what do you do for Shakespeare?
So we have it in one of our loops. So we usually get to it maybe, I would say, like every 2 weeks at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes up in our loop, we have the first step, like if we're doing a new play. And I try to pick the play that our Commonwealth is going to perform. Now that we're like a part of that, they do a production.
Commonwealth is in like our co-op.
Yes, as in our co-op.
When you used to tell me Commonwealth, I was like, I don't know what you're even saying.
About? Yes, they call it a Commonwealth.
Yes.
Because they're super fancy like that.
Yep.
And so they put on a production of Shakespeare.
Like the older kids.
The older kids do.
Scholars or something?
Yes, the scholar age kids, which is like, I think
high
you have
school?
To be 12 and up for the play.
Oh, okay.
So they put on a production of one of the plays every year. And last year we missed it because we were in Glacier National Park. So I was really excited this year. Mm-hmm. But of course, now we have the quarantine. So I don't think they're going to put it on this year either. But anyway, I tried to base it on being able to see that actual play performed because it's Shakespeare. It's meant to be seen in play form. Like,
definitely.
That's what it's made for. So we've also looked up different productions like that are around our area. Portland has a ton of plays that they put on.
Yeah. I've seen a bunch of those. Like the Children's Museum and stuff has done a couple.
Yeah. So that basically gives us an idea of what play we want to do. And obviously at this age, I kind of steer clear of one of the more like tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done Romeo and Juliet yet.
It's yeah.
pretty tragic.
Right.
So once we have the play, I'll pick a few of my favorite lines from it that we'll start memorizing and working on. And we always have to do them in character, of course, to make it more exciting.
Yes.
And he loves, like, saying these Shakespeare lines. I'll catch him, like, saying it just random times, too.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So we'll work on whatever lines we're memorizing. And then just to get the story straight, because they can be pretty complicated, and there's usually lots of characters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little tricky to keep like everything straight. So we'll usually start with like a little YouTube video that gives like a cartoon version of the play. And I would just watch it first because there are so many different versions of it. Some may be like more appropriate for your age of kid and some may not. So I always preview it first.
Yeah.
So we'll watch that. And those are usually under 10 minutes and they kind of just give you the basic outline.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a good idea because, you know, the language is so different from everyday language. So I think if they have like that, you know, to fall back on when like they're trying to understand language when you're reading it, it'll make it a lot easier to kind of comprehend.
Yes. I feel like that gives us like such a good foundation too, like keeping the story straight, especially like when the language does get tricky.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So then there's some great versions that are like more for kids. Like Usborne has a couple of great books which are illustrated, and they keep the story pretty simple. I think they use some actual lines from the play, but mostly it's like kind of done in modern language. So we'll read through one of those, but those are fantastic for giving you a basis of the characters.
Mm-hmm. That's what we use too.
Yeah, and don't you love how they have, like, the characters at the front?
Yeah.
So, and it kind of tells you, like, the name of the character and then, like, what, you know, who they're related to in the story.
Exactly. Like, before you start it, it just kind of gives you, like, a little illustration of each character with their name. So then, I mean, at least in the one that we do, which is Usborne Illustrated Stories from Shakespeare. So there's illustrations throughout the story as well. So then, you know, as long as, like, you're starting it out kind of, I don't know, at least for my kids, when we really get into it, a lot of times my daughter's favorite saying is, I don't get it. I don't get it. So we'll have to stop. And it's, I think if we kind of go over it before and she's seeing the pictures with the names ahead of time, and then we're going through and she can kind of see them side by side, it kind of helps. And then you had given me that great idea of, my kids love drawing. So, like, drawing out the characters, too, and yeah. using them almost, like, as puppets or right, something.
Right, yeah, doing, like, a puppet show or uh-huh. I've seen it done where they have, like, a big poster board that they pull out every time they study Shakespeare, which has, like, kind of the same thing as the Usborne illustrations, just the characters and, mm-hmm. you know, to keep them all straight. So exactly. we reference back to that first page often, usually before we continue reading on in the story, mm-hmm. and we'll reference back to it just to keep everything straight.
Yeah.
So those are fantastic resources that we've really enjoyed. There's also been some really good picture book versions of specific plays. Like, we really enjoyed The Midsummer Night's Dream by Bruce Colville. It's pretty well done, too.
That was the first one we did. And I think that's what we started with too. Midsummer Night's Dream is probably one of the best ones to start with, I would say. So.
Mm-hmm. I think it keeps the kids entertained pretty thoroughly, and it's not as complicated to keep everybody straight, even though there still are a ton of characters oh, yeah. in that play as well. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we'll read a picture book about it or something from the Usborne books. And then we've done where we go through an audiobook of the actual play, where it's done with different characters doing different parts, so it's kind of play-like. Mm-hmm. So when we do that, we would take it really, really slow. We don't do more than like 5 minutes at a time.
Right.
And so we'll just like do that for a little bit just to get the actual language. And then we usually like finish it off with watching the play. And hopefully that's a live version. We watch some movie versions too. Mm-hmm. We just finished watching Taming of the Shrew done by BBC. It was kind of in movie format, mm-hmm. but it had all the same lines from the play.
Yeah. I'm so really shocked that your son sat through that and, like, enjoyed it. He loved it. That is so crazy to me. I love that.
So that's basically what we do, and we really spend only about 15 minutes on it when it comes up in our loop. And mm-hmm. like I said, we just start with doing the memory work, and then wherever we kind of are in the process, we'll just do a few minutes of it there. But I feel like it can be so intimidating, but if you just take it in small chunks, like... Mm-hmm. I think it's worthwhile.
Right. It's a great idea.
Yeah. What about you guys?
We also do it in a loop, so we're kind of rotating through multiple things before we get to it every so often. I'd say like a couple times a month we go through it. But so what we do, I have like a picture we just printed off of William Shakespeare, and we just put it like on a cardstock or like a poster board, and then the book, Who Was William Shakespeare? Mm-hmm. That one is a hard one for my kids to sit through, so we keep it very, very brief.
Yeah.
And I think it's exciting for them to think about while I'm reading, like, different, like, little facts about him. So then once we finish, like, reading a couple of pages, then we pull out whatever they remembered about him, and then we write it on the poster board next to him. So by the time, like, we're finished... We'll have, like, the poster board with all these little fun facts that they came up with from reading the story about him. So that's what we do for him right now. And And then we do – what else do we do? So we're doing the – we did Midsummer's Dream last time. And then now we just started – what did we start? I can't even remember.
Twelfth Night, I think.
Yes. Thank you.
I remember that one last year.
Yeah, we just started that one. And we're just doing it from the illustrated stories from Shakespeare book. And my daughter is not grasping it very much. I feel like we're kind of reading it, and she's looking at the pictures, and she likes hearing the story, but there, she has a lot of questions.
Right. It's hard to keep track.
Mm-hmm. So I loved your suggestion of, like, reading, not reading, but watching, like, a little video about it firsthand. I feel like that will kind of help put the pieces together as we read it. Yeah. And I would say, like, it is, like, you know, there's still some language in it that's a little bit more
right.
advanced.
They have some lines straight from the play. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's good.
Exactly. So that's kind of what we've been doing lately. I've had them, when we did Midsummer, I had them kind of draw pictures of, like, what they remember
from the story.
Mm-hmm. Because my kids love drawing, so I think if you just kind of find something that they're into to right. kind of weave into it, it makes it a little more fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, we also did, I had read somebody recommended this audio CD, As Told by Jim Weiss.
And oh, he's such a great narrator. Yeah. I love everything he narrates. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll just have that, like, playing and while they're doing something. And then I feel like we're still getting, you know, a good dose of, like, the language by doing it that way.
Right.
And then I have all these fun little ideas to do while we're learning about Shakespeare. We haven't done a ton of them, but we found, like, some fun ways to tie in what's going on. Like, my daughter before has taken, like, her little wooden, like, Renaissance characters and her wooden castle and kind of, like, made the scene of what she's heard in the stories before. And I've planned to do, like, these duct tape swords for them to kind of, like, act out certain scenes, since
that's awesome.
That's a fun one.
But when we were doing Henry V, I think 2 years ago, I don't remember. I can't keep it all straight. But we, when we would get to, like, the fighting scenes, my son would always be, you know, playing with his sword.
Right.
Oh, running around the house. And then the lines that we memorized from that play, he still says it, like, with his sword in the air. And, like, it's very into character. That's so I amazing. Feel like that's super helpful.
Yeah. That's what we do. I just feel like as long as you're kind of tying it in, I don't know, it makes it fun for my kids at least still.
So. Yeah. I feel like they learn through playing. Like, that's how, like, when they hear something, like, they want to play it through. Like, that helps them put it into their memories.
Exactly. And as much as, like, I felt like Shakespeare wasn't, like, something that was sticking as much, at least last year, when I did, like, a little birthday interview, my son still said it was, like, his favorite thing to learn about. So I was like, I guess something.
Yeah, at least they're getting something. There. I feel like in little bits.
Little bits and pieces. Definitely. So that's kind of the basis of what we've been doing, at least for Shakespeare.
Yeah. So what does poetry look like for you guys?
I love the Poetry Tea Time.
Mm-hmm. By Julie Bravewriter.
Yes. So a lot of times we'll do that, like, in our morning basket. We'll have, Shel Silverstein's Where the Sidewalk Ends, or
Shel Silverstein is always a hit.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, one where I know my kids will ask for more. So, and my daughter does not love tea, but
neither does
likes
my son.
To pretend she likes it. But my son loves it, so we'll do that a lot of times in our morning basket. We'll read Shel Silverstein's books, or there's a couple of other ones we really love to go through. Life Doesn't Frighten Me is, like, a picture book by Maya Angelou, which is a great one. And then we have, like, a collection of poems by Edgar Allan Poe, which is another one we really like. We keep it pretty brief, and I love doing it in our morning basket time because it's something they always like to do, so that's usually what we do for the most part. Activity-wise, I have it planned out for at least this year to do more of, like, a deep dive into, like, the different types of poetry, like the haikus and stuff. And there's so many fun little ideas, like, on Pinterest of, like, ways to teach the different styles of poetry and stuff. So that's what we're planning to move towards as well.
That's awesome. We haven't even talked about, like, the different styles of poetry, so I'm curious to see what you do. No, but I want to see how you handle that.
Yeah, there's just so many fun little ideas on Pinterest that I'm excited to start with, because they love telling stories and stuff like that, like with the story cubes and stuff. So
they do, and yeah, your daughter tells the cutest stories ever.
She gets real jazzed.
I love it.
So what do you do for poetry?
So, my son doesn't like tea either, so we do what we call poetry treat time.
Oh, even better.
He loves treats, so that works. So, when it comes up again in our loop every couple of weeks or so, we'll just spread out a blanket and have whatever treat I can scrounge up. Sometimes we make one.
Oh, like a little picnic? That's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, picnic style. Sometimes I'll actually make something, or we'll make something together before, or other times I'll just kind of see what I can come up with.
Yeah.
You know, maybe hot chocolate, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever I can find. But as long as there's sugar involved, like, he's good to go. So then we'll kind of, again, just like Shakespeare, we'll work on whatever we're memorizing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do our current poem, however far along we are in that, and then we'll go over the poems that we memorized in the past. So that's always fun to repeat those. And then we study a poet every year. Mm. So we'll learn a little bit about that poet and then usually find...
So what poet are you doing right now?
So right now we are doing Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Mm. What a name, right?
I don't even know this one.
So I think I chose him based purely on the poem that we're memorizing, which is The Arrow and the Song, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love that poem. And so that's what we're currently memorizing. And it's a shorter one, so it's been fun for him and he likes it.
So did you previously do Robert Frost then?
We started with Robert Frost because that's my favorite poet.
Yeah,
because you know, I pick my favorites. And so we memorized The Road Not Taken because mm-hmm. that's my favorite poem.
That was the best, asking him to recite that. That was so fun.
He gets very excited about doing that one. That one he has memorized pretty well by now.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year we did Maya Angelou and we memorized the one that you talked about, Life mm-hmm. Doesn't Frighten Me at All.
Yeah.
And so after we kind of work on whatever poem we're memorizing and then we read a little bit about that poet, there's been some great picture books. Like Robert Frost has a picture book about his life, which is called Papa is a Poet,
mm-hmm.
that just came out. And that one is fantastic. So we just try to see what we can find as far as picture books go that can kind of tell us just like a little bit about them. The other books that we love are Poetry for Young People.
Oh, we've done some of those. Those ones are great.
Yeah. So they'll have a short bio about the poet in the beginning, and then they'll do their poems, but they're all illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are they illustrated, they will also take like a few words from throughout that poem and like tell you the definition, which helps a ton.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then, so as far as picture books go, we've also found a few about the actual poems, like Hiawatha, The Song of Hiawatha, which is by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. That mm-hmm. one's a picture book. And so is Life Doesn't Frighten Me, the one that we talked about from Maya Angelou. And I think even The Road Not Taken's been made into a picture book. So
I love that.
Yeah, it's nice because, you know, my kiddo loves illustrations and it breaks it down bit by bit. So I feel like those help a ton. So we'll usually read one of those. And then, like you were saying, anything that's just like for fun, like Shel Silverstein or the nonsense poem Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll.
Mm, or the Mirror Mirror one. My kids loved that one. It's like reverse poetry.
I haven't even heard of that.
It's a great one. That's awesome. They loved that.
Yeah, so anything that's like silly or fun, we'll just throw in a couple of those as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also found on YouTube, we've found some poets reading their own work. And I feel like especially for the ones that we're memorizing, it helps so much to just like hear the poet say it in their own words, like the way that they intended to like emphasize things or, you know, I just feel like that has made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's pretty much all we do. We found a couple of great poetry anthologies, which just has like a huge collection of poems. Like when we get through all the poems by a particular poet, and we're just like looking for just some random poems to read. We've really liked the ones called Poems to Learn by Heart by Caroline Kennedy. That one has some really great poems in it. And again, they're like illustrated and they're in different sections. We found like some really great nature poems books.
I feel like I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's on a lot of lists, but mm-hmm. I've liked most of the poems in there, and a lot of them are really short,
yeah,
which makes it fun.
We started out with a short one for memory work to, like, memorize.
Yeah, we should have done that. We started out with The Road Not Taken. It was pretty lengthy, but it would have been nice to be shorter.
I've heard the idea of, when you are, like, memorizing poetry, like, to do it 3 times a day, and then to go with, like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So then, like, you know, you're always going to have three meals. So then it gives you 3 opportunities to recite it.
That's great. I feel like whenever we go, like, without doing it frequently, we, like, have to do it a few times because we forget. Yeah. So doing it along with the meals, like, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much how we do poetry.
I love it.
Yeah. So what are you obsessing over?
I've been like in a book obsession lately, but I've almost finished in like 2 days. Where the Crawdads Sing. Everyone's been talking about it.
It's such a good book.
You had told me about it too. So I was like, okay, let's do it. And I have not been able to put it down. So yeah.
I knew you would love this book.
Yes, I'm obsessed. And I only have a couple chapters left, and I'm sad it's going to be over soon.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you to finish it so we can talk about the ending.
Oh my gosh, and our niece, the ending. Our niece is super into it too. So I'm excited to talk to her about it. I know. Well.
It's so fun. Like, when people love books, it's so fun.
Yes. What are you obsessing over?
So I won't say a book because I always say a book, even though I do love a book right now.
I swear, we need like a book club.
We do. But we have been, my husband and I have been enjoying a TV show that's on Amazon Prime called Defending Jacob.
Oh.
It has Chris Evans, which is otherwise known as Captain America. That's who we refer to him as. And it has Michelle Dockery from Downton Abbey, which I loved her in that show.
Everyone loves that show. I should watch that.
It's
one
so
too.
Good. So she's in it, and I love her. And bonus, it has Cherry Jones.
I know you said that, like, I'm supposed to know who that is. I'm like, I don't know.
Cherry Jones is, like, famous in our house because she reads the Little House on the Prairie series and Farmer Boy, which we listen to over and over and over
again
in our house.
We've listened to some of Farmer Boy, so now I know who that is.
Yes, and her voice is so distinct. So as soon as, like, we see her in a show, we're like, oh, my gosh, it's my favorite. So I'm very excited that she's in the series. But it's kind of a serious, like, I guess it's a drama. I don't know what you call it, thriller. But it's really good. I hate having to watch a series like where you're waiting like for the next episode.
And this is like that?
Yeah,
it's like that. Oh, that's rough.
I know. But that's about it.
Dang. Well, I guess until next week.
We would love to connect with you. If you have questions or comments or ideas for an episode, we would love to hear from you at homeschooladventurespod@gmail.com. We definitely don't have all the answers, but we would love to get a conversation started.